He started in Matthew, the 5th chapter, studying the Beatitudes. And I wanted us to just glance down those, because as we got to the point where we finished last time about taking up our cross and following Jesus, I got to thinking that, you know, I'm so glad that we studied the Beatitudes. The poor in spirit, what kind of spirit you have and how you feel coming to God, because we know that we are totally lost and undone and needy, you know, before God in and of ourselves, and that we need Him and we need the blood of Christ to save us and to be right with God and brought near to Him is what we want to be. And so that kind of spirit, that kind of character, not just the initial coming to God and accepting and listening to the gospel and obeying it, but a continuation of that kind of attitude towards God and His Word and our dependence on Him, to live our lives and to be justified before Him. And as we sin, to have that attitude of repentance, mourning, and coming with that contrite heart and trusting in the blood of Christ to cleanse us from those sins, and having it in our heart to try to not do those things again, but to grow and be better. And we talked about the gentle and how we accept criticism and rebuking, not only from God, but from a good sister, a good brother, an elder, a sermon, an article that might come across that is according to God's Word. Or if we're reading God's Word in our daily Bible study and we come across something that convicts us, what kind of attitude do we have about that? You know, do we make excuses? Do we have this kind of meek heart that says, you know, I've been guilty of this and I need to straighten up, or I need to do better about this. And so, and then the hungering and thirsting after righteousness, to do what is right before God. What is our attitude about God, about righteousness, about His Word, and about being right? Does it matter? And to what extent does it matter? And to what avenue will we go to fulfill that hunger? Because God promises we shall be satisfied. You hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you look to God's Word and what He says, you will find the answer, and you can be satisfied with goodness. Everything, all the good things that He offers, the blessings that we studied from Ephesians 1 and other blessings that we've looked at in Christ. And then it comes down to being pure in heart, not hypocritical, but having a right kind of attitude and also a pure kind of attitude, not as a hypocrite, not as one who not only fools ourselves but tries to fool others. And people try to fool God because they don't realize you just can't fool God. You know, you may fool yourself and you may fool others, but you can't fool God. And so we get down then to peacemakers and then being persecuted. And we got down to Matthew, the 16th chapter. And I wanted to look at that just in light of those Beatitudes, the kind of attitude and character this person has who enters the kingdom. And it's not just a door that you walk through. It is a continuing rule of Christ in your life. That's what the kingdom of heaven is. Christ rules in the hearts of men. He doesn't rule in a building. This is not the temple like under the old law. not in between the angel wings, you know, that God met once a year, come down and met with the people, but in the hearts of men. And so, you know, we look at this chapter 16, and Jesus is speaking to his disciples, but it would include those who follow him even today. Okay, he had just rebuked Peter, calling him Satan, because Peter didn't understand him going to the cross. But then he says, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And we sort of talked about that a little bit, about what that meant. And can anyone review our minds about what we talked about? Who would like to just give an overall view of what we talked about? What does it mean to deny oneself and follow after Christ?
Put Christ first no matter what.
Put Christ first no matter what? Did you want to say something, Susan?
I have the same thing, to totally accept Christ, all that he stands for, and no matter what the cost to us, follow what he's told us.
Okay. Anyone else? That means also putting away those things, the fleshly things, our desires that would get in the way. Also, in serving one another. You know, we didn't quite get to that point that I had written down. You know those, when we talk about taking up our cross and following after Jesus, do you think a person who is not poor in spirit is going to have that attitude to do that? Do you think a person who's not sorry for his mistakes and so glad and thankful and praising God and contrite that God will forgive him, that they're not going to have the attitude of, you know, I used to do this, but that's getting in the way of being what Christ would have me to be. So I'm going to put that aside no matter what it costs. Do you think a person who is not sorry for their sins and that they're going to want to put themselves in jeopardy and not care? Do you think about a person who is not merciful? Is not going to put themselves out there for somebody else, even though it costs them their time, maybe doing what they wanted to do, maybe even some money, maybe even, you know, other things, maybe someone's slander. You know, they're doing that because, you know, so forth and so on. Or they're just trying to be a goody-two-shoes. Or they're just trying to show, you know, everybody that they, you know, by what they're doing. Have you ever, I don't know about you, but I've actually been accused of some of those things just by helping to take care of people, you know? And it's usually by people who are so either insensitive or uncaring or convicted by your actions because they're not doing it. Okay? And so, but we find that if we have this kind of character that Christ talks about in his kingdom, the one that has that he rules in their heart, that when it comes to taking up our own cross, we may fail sometimes, but we will be in a better, have a better attitude and a better frame of mind and make those decisions more than a person who is not poor in spirit, merciful, have a contrite heart, loving towards people, you know. And yes, then Jesus talks about being persecuted, you know, even about that, if you do that. But he comes down to Matthew 16 and he said, you cannot be my disciple. So if we're to follow Jesus, we are to, whatever cross comes to bear, you know, so it could be an illness. It could be facing death. It could be doing for others. It could be giving up friends. I don't know. Have you all had to give up a friendship? Yeah. Have you had to stop going to places or your husband or yourself put yourself in jeopardy at work because of some decisions? And so, you know, these things happen to that few who are traveling that narrow road. And so it's not uncommon for the followers of Christ to be persecuted and to have to take up their cross. And if we follow Jesus, what better example of someone having to suffer for wrongs that he didn't do, for ourselves, and for giving us the right to call him Lord. And so, and then Pat, I think, mentioned about Paul and those things that are mentioned that in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, that he had to go through in order to do that. But any comments along that line about our attitude? Okay, then let's go on then to number H, who are called blessed in the following verses. And I gave you Psalms 41, 1 and 2. Amanda, would you read Psalms 41, 1 and 2? And then Anna, would you read Proverbs 14, 21?
How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive, and he shall be called blessed upon the earth. And do not give him over to the desires of his enemies.
Okay, and Proverbs 14, 21, 22, and 31.
He who despises his neighbor sins, but happy is he who is gracious to the poor. Will they not go astray who devise evil? But kindness and truth will be to those who devise good.
Okay, so who are called blessed? You know, who is getting the blessing? Who is being having spiritual well-being? Who is being thought in a righteous way by the Lord here? Okay, and what else? What are they doing? They're helping the needy. Okay, they're helping the needy. And, you know, I thought it interesting that they consider properly and attend. They're prudent. You know, they're just not foolishly going out there, you know, just throwing money to, you know, on the streets, you know. They're prudent about helping the needy. They are alert at the needs. And they use wisdom probably in how they go about helping those people. You know, there is sometimes, as I've learned over the years, yes, you want to help people and you do things and everything, but sometimes as you grow in the Lord and in years and experience, you see more and more how to really help a situation, you know. Not just one.
What? I'm saying.
Okay, I thought I heard a man's voice. Did anyone? It was him. That's okay. You know what? No, I was afraid that somebody had come in. Okay. No. He doesn't bother me a bit, Lauren, dear. I was afraid somebody. I thought I heard somebody else, and I knew that there wasn't like Steve one here or something like that. Okay. Wally can get that out of the... Anyway, okay. So it properly attend to. You know, they're not indifferent. Jesus told a parable about the Good Samaritan. And, you know, self-righteous people just walked on you know, and people of God, so to speak, you know, just were indifferent to it and didn't have compassion and didn't see to the needs of. And so we need to be careful that we consider properly and attend to wisely those needs. They're gracious to the poor. You know, the poor can even be the materialistic things of this world, or it could be to the spiritually poor. You know, are we looking for ways to help someone who's weak in faith, who's falling away, who's letting Satan take over their thinking? And are we doing what we can? Sometimes you can't do a whole lot because they won't let you. But, you know, do what you can. But if you have knowledge of something, then, you know, if nothing but I'm concerned about the situation, would you like to get together and talk, you know, or that kind of thing. Any suggestions along that line that you all have had?
And sometimes just talking to somebody when, you know, they're here at church. I know a lot of times people just bolt out of here and it's like, you know, just, you don't have to run after them, but just kind of go out of your way instead of, oh, well, they're gone already.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of chat, and it's just amazing that just a hello will do.
Right.
Because it makes them, you know, feel like, okay, well, I am one of you.
Somebody cares.
Yes.
Steve has put me to shame in the past. Do you know that he puts out an attendance chart? Do you know that every time we meet, they take attendance? And if you go across that chart and you see people have missed and missed and missed and missed, what's our attitude towards that? And what about a call? What about a little note, you know, to let them know that not only did the Lord miss them, you know, and that they were missed being with the Lord and communing with the Lord, but they missed being with the saints and encouraging them and being encouraged. Yes?
I find that it's such a tricky situation because somebody would call somebody and they were thinking of being nosy.
Okay, what does that go back to?
How do you handle a case like that?
That might be a little persecution going on there, but you go past that, you see. Don't react to that. Act positively by saying, I was thinking about our souls and us getting to heaven together. And the Lord, you know, wants us to meet together, to edify one another, and to learn more about Him. And I don't know about you, but I can't be edified, and I don't learn as much if I don't come. And even when I feel badly, don't know about you guys, but if I come to church, I'm feeling probably a little bit better if I can move than if I were staying home in my chair. Okay? Because you get to worshiping, and you get to being with the brethren, and it has some kind of a calming effect on me. You know, I'm not talking about somebody who's running fever, throwing up, so ill they don't know where they are. Been there, you know. Others, you have to stay home. Your children have to stay home. It's wise. But we're talking about people who just don't come for lack of faith. And sisters, that's what it comes down to. All those excuses are excuses. It comes down to faith. And when they start losing that, then they get to saying things like, well, I don't get anything out of the services, quote unquote. No one seems like they care about me there, quote unquote. I think I'm going to go, you know, to another congregation, and maybe I can build my faith there, quote unquote. And, you know, but That's not going to happen. The problem is Jesus isn't Lord of their lives. And their faith is waning. And so we need to look around, and in being this kind of considering properly and attending to the needy, it includes not only the physical things. And sometimes some of these people need physical things done for them, and they become discouraged. And so we need to be aware of that and help them in a positive way with that. But you're right, Margaret. They turn it around to you being the busybody, you being the nosy, you don't know what I'm going through, those kinds of things. But turn it back around and say something positive about how you feel towards them and how the Lord feels towards them. And, you know, put it back in the right ballpark. Okay? All right. The Lord will preserve. You know, we've been talking about all these blessings and all this well-being of those who are in Christ and who have the kind of character and are in His kingdom. And so the Lord will preserve. He will deliver him in a day of trouble. Does that mean that every little thing that comes up, God's going to reach down and just snatch us right up? Of course not. You know? But we have promises, like the Lord's not going to let us be tempted more than what we can bear, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, or that that He is near all the time, and that we have His Word, and that we have prayer, and we have faithful brethren to help us in times of trial. And so, and even if we go to death. Remember what he said to the churches? Remember what he said to the churches in Revelation? Be thou faithful unto death. Unto death. Some of them were dying. And I'll give you the crown of life. You remain faithful. And I'll rescue you from the second death. So it may even have to go all the way to eternity. But He will deliver us in time of trouble. I tell you what's going to be a whole lot of trouble for a whole lot of people is when the Lord comes. And so He'll put this hedge around us. His Word does not change. And you know what else? Jesus defeated the devil. The devil will not touch us unless we allow him to. And even when the devil asked to tempt Job, God put a hedge around it. You don't kill it. When he wanted to tempt Peter and sift him like wheat, there was a hedge around that. Yes, but he turned and repented. Judas didn't, because he didn't trust in the Lord. Peter remembered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Okay? So, that's what we have to keep our focus on. That's what we have to help those whom we deal with to focus on. Any other thoughts about that? I wanted just to read Psalm 18 because of the two verses that we read. Let's turn to Psalm 18 and just one little verse that the Lord says. The psalmist, this is a Psalm of David, okay? And this is after he has been delivered from Saul in the hand of his enemies. And he said, "With the kind thou dost show thyself kind. With the blameless Thou dost show thyself blameless. 26. With the pure, thou dost show thyself pure. With the crooked, thou dost show thyself astute. God sees, God knows, God's loving kindness is there. God's pure way is there. And He will reward those who look to Him, and He will judge those who are against Him. So, any other questions about that? Okay, Psalm 106, verse 3. Lauren, do you have that? That's okay. 106, verse 3.
Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times.
Okay, what did you put down for that?
Blessed are those who are righteous.
Okay.
In all aspects of their lives.
Right, right. And who, I sort of liked, you know, we can go all different ways, you know, with this about there it says keeps justice, or it means judgment, you know, making the right judgment, being justified, being declared right, you know, before God, okay? And it's those who have a regard for, like Lauren said, and practices doing what's right. And if they do that, then it says, you know, they are blessed. They have well-being. They're thought of by God as being right. And not only do they have favor with God, but, you know, sometimes when you do right, things are better than when you do wrong. The conclusion of the matter turns out better in marriages, in raising children, in work relationships, in neighbor relationships, in brother and sister family relationships, in brethren relationships. If everybody is doing right and doing what God would have us to do, man, that's heaven, isn't it? Wish we had it, but, you know, but that's not going to happen because Satan's still active and alive out there, and sometimes we allow him to cloud our judgment. And so, but one who has regard and one who practices righteousness. 4 and 5 of that, remember me, O Lord, in thy favor. You see, that gets back to the well-being. Toward thy people, visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the prosperity. See those words that we were talking about, the blessedness and the well-being, and the spiritually prosperous, and, okay, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory in thine inheritance. Glorify God, be glad, rejoice. How many times does Jesus say that? And then the epistles tell Christ's people to rejoice, be glad, and to glorify God, not only in your life, but in praise. You know. And so, you know, it's not, it didn't die with David. And so, let's remember this as we go through our lives and making these choices. Okay, Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. Anna, can you read?
Yes. The righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him.
Okay. You know, we dealt in the last verse with your righteousness and wanting to do right and everything like that. I wanted to shift and included this verse because of what doing that will cause your other generation to look at and also be blessed. It has really good outcome. It has good reward. Okay? It says that the sons of a righteous, just, lawful, trustworthy, you know, this is a man who walks in his integrity. He's above reproach, he's blameless, he's pure of heart, he does what's right, and he walks in that. And who benefits from that? His sons. And daughters. Neighbors, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and, you know, all those who come in contact with you, who see you living for God, making good choices, people that don't even know the truth. Wally's boss, a woman back years ago, had a preteen, and we're sitting at a dinner, Exxon dinner, and I'm sitting by her. And she asked me, because the word got around it, Wally, you know, he had had some Bible studies and how he conducted himself and how true our children were, and, you know, and we had teenagers and stuff. How do you do this, that, and the other? She had a rebellious 12-year-old, and she didn't have a clue on how to do or what to do. But, of course, you know, she's been raised by a nanny instead of her mama, because her mama was too busy climbing the ladder at Exxon to take care of the daughter, and, of course, she's a product of divorce. And so, you know, we went on a trip to England. One of his co-workers, I'd never met his wife before, and we're out and we're looking at some castle, you know, and she's asking me, because they've just married and she's got kids and he's got kids, and asking me, how do you do a family? Because they knew about her family. People look, people listen. You can be a person that an example to a person who don't even know you. One other example. I was mailing songbooks and Bibles to a little church somewhere in the local post office here in Humble. And a young woman behind me followed me outside, pulled me aside. She was on her way to a clinic to have an abortion. And she wanted to talk about what kind of decision that was. Because she didn't have anybody else to talk to. We spent the next hour and a half talking about God and His love for her and His love for the unborn and some things about choices that she needs to make. I don't know what she did. I gave her my number. I never heard. But you never know who's looking at just one little thing, you know, whether in the grocery line or wherever. And your children can be the same. Have any of you with children had little kids to come home and tell you how they answered something about Jesus, or why they didn't lie, or why they wouldn't cheat, or why they wouldn't do something, or call somebody a bad name or something like that at school? It's a time for praising them and for thanking God right then that they have made that choice, you know, and that you're very proud that they made that choice. And that they can make a difference in somebody else's life. So, you know, the sons of a righteous man who walks in his integrity, he keeps on. He's not wishy-washy. He's not one thing one day and something else another. They see that. And they're blessed. And you're blessed. Okay, we're going to stop there. And we will, because I have lots on Psalm 65. Okay, Lord willing, we will start with Psalm 65. Who may abide in God's house?
65 or 15?
I have 65 verse 4 and Psalm 15. Did I not put both of them on your sheet?
65 4?
Yes, 65 4. Okay. And yes, did I not put it on your sheet? I apologize if I didn't, because I have only my notes in front of me. Okay, but Psalm 15. Look at verse 2, verse 3, verse 4. Okay, especially. And verse 5. And we will talk about those. Okay? Lord willing. And finish up that class, that lesson. Yes, Lauren.
I was just going to ask if you had passed out another lesson. I've been gone quite
a bit. Okay. Yes, I have. And I was going to... Okay. Let me turn this off. Okay. The next one is, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe. Lesson, start with number 6. Anybody got that? Everybody?
No, I mean, no.